I would say that I've always been interested in the global sphere of interest. So outside your local community, outside your borders, what's going on? Sometimes it's easy to just think of yourself in the moment. You're doing your day-to-day job, your roles and responsibility, and thinking you're serving your local community, which is great, fantastic, we need that. But then there's always this curiosity of thinking outside borders. Like, there's people living all across the world having a whole suite of different challenges. And that's, to me, that's very interesting, exciting, because in some of these contexts, we're talking about low resource settings, low capacity settings, and they're able to work within those situations to do their best to serve their communities.
This is the Public Health Insight Podcast. Before we move on, it is important to note that the views expressed in this podcast are our own and do not represent any of the organizations we work for or are affiliated with.
You're listening to the Public Health Insight Podcast, your go-to space for all things public health and global health. From the Sustainable Development Goals to the social determinants of health, as well as interesting dialogues about the diverse career opportunities that exist in these fields. Remember to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify so other people like you can benefit from our content. To kick off our brilliant, fantabulous upcoming career profile series, we thought the best place to start was with yours truly and my co-host and guest, some of you know him as LaShawn Benedict. In this episode, I'll be putting LaShawn on the spot in the hot seat to learn more about his global career and what messages he has for you. LaShawn, how are you doing?
What's up?
What's up? You like that? Is it too aggressive?
No, it's good.
Good, okay.
Mixing it up on here.
Mixing it up. So briefly introduce yourself and what you do at a high, high level. Your elevator pitch, 2-3 sentences.
Well, my name is LaShawn Benedict, and I'm a fun guy. Nah, like for those of you who don't know, that was Kawhi Leonard, Toronto Raptors NBA championship. Mm. Huge shout out to him. Anyways, again, my name is LaShawn, and I work as a global health community manager for a global health community of practice, which we'll get into in a second. And of course, I'm the founder and COO of Public Health Insight.
Community of practice. What the hell is that?
That's a great question. A lot of people don't know, but it's actually something that is really, really important, especially when we're talking about really collaborative spaces like public health and global health. And I always like going back to a definition by my good friend, who I've never met before, Etienne Wenger. Communities of practice are a group of people who share a concern or a passion for something they do and learn how to do it better as they interact regularly. Okay. So there are three basic characteristics that are often attributed to a community of practice, and they'll really define what it's all about here. So the first thing you have is domain. So people who are in a community of practice, they're community members who have this distinct shared area of interest, competence, or commitment to something that distinguishes them from other people. And so this domain area, it inspires people to participate and it guides their learning. And in my case, we're focusing on the social and behavioral sciences and neglected tropical diseases. But equally as easily, you can have a community of practice for health promotion, health policy, or any specific discipline like business, accounting. You could have it for anything. But it's basically the space that has a commonality and a specific domain of interest. So that's the first thing, the domain. The second thing is the community. So the people who are part of this community of practice. So these are the members who have interest in these activities. They want to be involved in discussions, problem solving, and learning about different opportunities, networking, and relationship building. So it's really focused on people. And then the third and most important thing, like the name suggests, is since it is a community of practice, there's this third idea of the practice. So all the community members in the community of practice are practitioners of that domain of interest. So if we're working on a community of practice focused on health promoters, the members are most likely going to be health promoters with the experience in the field as practitioners, right? And in one of the earlier episodes, Gordon, I know you talked about health promoters. So if you wanted, you could start a community of practice for health promoters and you would be sharing things like, you know, best practices, what worked in the field, what worked when you're planning an intervention, what were some of the considerations. And in this way, really, you're having people from different communities of health promoters, from maybe different regions of Ontario or different regions of Canada, coming together, sharing their experiences and best practices. So many people can learn about different things and improve their overall practice as health promoters, for example. And when we talk about public health and global health, we often talk about this idea of, you know, removing silos, removing barriers. And a community of practice is a space, and it could be in person or virtual. It could be a space, an intentional space, where people can get together, share best practices, share their lessons learned, share their experiences, share what they're doing to avoid duplication of activities, to ultimately do what they do better.
Gave us a lot to think about there. And even in your definition, I was reflecting if some of the groups that I'm involved with are in fact community of practices, just thinking about what that definition was. So thanks for sharing that. This sounds like a lot of work, and it sounds like based on the complexity of a community of practice, you can have very good and engaging communities of practice, and then you can have maybe ones that are on the not as good side. So what specifically makes a good community of practice in terms of those foundational or governance structures that you have to have in place to do this in an engaging way? What would you say?
I think what makes a successful community of practice is one that has engaged members that share a common goal or purpose. And much of that success comes from a community of practice that is derived organically. So the members see this organic need and have this organic need to want to do better and, you know, engage in a community with other people to ultimately enhance what they do. In, you know, successful community of practices, you see regular interactions with members. So this could be through the form of, you know, online virtual discussions, regular meetings, task teams, knowledge sharing, any sort of form that facilitates community members talking to each other, helping each other out, forming those networks, talking about what they do, again, in attempt to do what they do better. And this leads to things like disseminating best practices, sending out guidelines, talking about what worked, what didn't work, strategies to enhance other members, community members' practice, and really just keeping each other up to date on some of the things that are going on in the field. Again, as I keep alluding back to, community of practice. So the focus is on the practice, what people are doing on a day-to-day for their work and how to do that better. Hmm.
So LaShawn, you mentioned that you are a community manager. Mm-hmm. So what role does a community manager play in a community of practice?
That is an absolutely fantastic
question. Have you figured that one out yet?
So, as you probably imagined, there's a lot going on within a community of practice. And you also have to have this context on top of that. When you're talking about a global health community of practice or a public health community of practice focusing on any specific area, there are going to be certain funding limitations present at many organizations. So depending on those financial barriers, the scope of what any given community manager does is broadened or narrowed, right? In my case, I have a pretty broad scope of different things that I do. So more specifically, in a nutshell, I manage this global health community of practice focused on social and behavioral research sciences that focus on neglected tropical diseases. And I work with over 240 different members across over 40 different countries. And we focus on that elimination and control of these neglected tropical diseases, which affect among the most vulnerable populations worldwide. And to do that, there's many things. And I mentioned different, you know, strategies we use to create these intentional forms of interactions. So at its core, at the higher level, I do a lot of management-related tasks. So I provide direction and governance to 6 cross-functional task teams, which focus on so many different areas within the neglected tropical disease spaces. So Mass Drug Administration has a task team. Social Mobilization has its own task team. Health System Strengthening has their own task team, all within this area of social and behavioral research sciences within neglected tropical diseases. So helping them with different deliverables that'll help them manage, curate, and disseminate different learning resources for each other. In this role, I also apply a lot of project management methodology. So creating the overall community charter, which is basically a document that talks about what this community of practice is about, clear scope, clear goals, clear visions, clear expectations for the members, so everyone is on the same page as they're interacting in this community. I work with many and create frameworks, strategic plans, talking about risk repositories, knowledge, lessons learned. So all the things you would expect as a manager to do, those are roles that I take on. And again, with that comes a lot of developing funding proposals and budgets to ensure the sustainability of this community of practice going forward, and really thinking about ways to improve coordination, collaboration, and global knowledge sharing, understanding that I am working with members across 40 different countries, different time zones, so there are different challenges. So that's kind of the managerial project management role that I take on. And then in addition to that, I have more of a creative role. So I'm creating evidence-informed information, knowledge translation products, and putting together blogs, written documentations, creating videos, website designing. I'm a podcast producer for this organization. And it's a lot of creative stuff that I like doing. So you're having that managerial side, then you have the creative side, the content creation side. And then I get to implement, like I said, project management and more recently, digital marketing on how I could, you know, increase membership and how I can increase, you know, engagement across this community of practice. So there's a bunch there. I do quite a bit. Even if you ask me to explain my day to day, I really couldn't tell you what. But at its core, I work very closely with all our different members. I get to talk to all these cool people globally who do a bunch of different things. So the types of members in my organization, they're pharmacists, they're doctors, they're scientists, they're students, they're program managers who are working in the field. So I work with a lot of different people, which keeps things extremely exciting. Mm. What do you think about that?
Well,
do you want to be a community manager now?
You know, interestingly enough, so my next question to you is around those core competencies that help you either stay afloat in this role or help you excel in those roles, this role in particular. And I don't want to take any answers from you, but when you just described that, I thought to myself, it seems like some of the major traits and skills for this position would be around problem solving and innovation, based on how you described the day-to-day of management and the day-to-day of your creativity. It sounds like those are some of the two key traits that you would have. Do you want to elaborate on those or share any more that you think are just as important?
I do think those are very important parts of my roles. But I would say, as a community manager working with 240 members across these 40 different countries, one thing you have to have are these interpersonal skills, right? And all this is overlaid with the context that people still have their full-time jobs, their 9-to-5 jobs all around the world. And this is kind of in addition to what they're doing. So as a community manager, you're kind of wrestling with that idea that people have, you know, responsibilities for their formal organizations that they're employed by. But at the same time, being part of a community of practice adds value to what they're doing for that organization. So working with some of those constraints is important. And I think part of that community manager role is having these skills to talk to different people, motivate people, inspire people, and help them and talk them through how important a community of practice is and the benefits you can get out of engaging with the community of practice. And I think that serving this community manager role, I'm one of the key contact points when people want to interact with us. So I very much deeply know a lot of these members by name and very personally, right? So having that dialogue and creating those meaningful relationships goes a long way to strengthen these interactions that are taking place within the community of practice. Like, you need someone who gets along well with people. You need someone who can facilitate conversations and show why there is benefit for attending these different interactions and elements that we have in our community of practice, right? And you can imagine an alternate scenario where I was just a jerk and I was trying to get people to join this community of practice, show them the benefits, create all these products, And if they don't like working with me, they're not going to want to join these different meetings and opportunities to enhance the global health community of practice. So I think those interpersonal skills are an important part. And of course, you could already start understanding the complexity when you're working globally across 40 different countries, people in different backgrounds, diversity. There are many challenges. And with those challenges, to come up with solutions, you have to be innovative, right? So those are some of the things that you mentioned, which are also super important.
One thing I wanted to go back to, you might think you're out of the hot seat right now.
Okay.
But you'd made a couple different distinctions between, so you were like public health or global health. Mm-hmm. It seems like you're in global health. Why specifically right now are you in global health? What are some of those reasons that led you to global health?
Yeah, I would say that I've always been interested in the global sphere of interest. So outside your local community, outside your borders, what's going on? Like, sometimes it's easy to just think of yourself in the moment. You're doing your day-to-day job, your roles and responsibility, and thinking you're serving your local community, which is great, fantastic, we need that. But then there's always this curiosity of thinking outside borders. Like, there's people living all across the world having a whole suite of different challenges. And that's, to me, that's very interesting and exciting, because in some of these contexts, we're talking about low resource settings, low capacity settings, and they're able to work within those situations to do their best to serve their communities. And I was introduced to this mainly through one of my practicum placements during my Master's of Public Health program. Shout out to Western MPH. I went to Thailand and I was able to visit these different organizations, these public health and global health organizations within Thailand, and seeing the work that they did. And specifically, there's hospitals up north, for example, that really take the principles of health promotion and public health prevention to heart. Because, of course, it costs so much more to treat someone who's already sick rather than preventing these illnesses and the situations that lead to illnesses, right? So they really take this public health and health promotion lens. And specifically, I was up north at a hospital called Umpang Hospital. And the director of this hospital, he has a public health background, and he put different public health strategies into place, and understanding that the population that he serves are among stateless migrants who are coming from Myanmar, for example, or individuals in Thailand who may not have access to different healthcare services, or individuals in Thailand who live in smaller settlements, which are way out of reach. So how do you deliver these preventative services and educational bites, right? So, you know, creating different situations where you have regular shuttles going to and reaching out to these different communities, and having people who are strong in health promotion and child and maternal health services, that they're able to go share the knowledge and really help people understand the importance of taking this preventative lens, right? So being able to see those struggles during my practicum placement really shed light on some of these important, important issues that are going on in the global health space and some of the unique challenges that they face. So that's what led me into pursuing more of a global health role.
So let's say you inspired at least one person to look more into this community manager thing. They're inspired by the work that you do, some of the challenges that you have to overcome, and they're like, what is this community manager? Maybe I'll take a stab at it. So what should people be looking for in their job search to help them see and find those types of positions?
Yeah, so that's interesting, because there are many alternative names for what a community manager does. So there could be a knowledge broker, knowledge manager, knowledge management specialist. So those are different types of roles that you could potentially find at different organizations. Like I said earlier, any organization can create their own community of practice, and it could be specific to that organization to help spread best practices and learning across your different organizational functions, so people are more aware of what's going on within that organization. Now, when we talk about a global health specific role, there's obviously not too many global health community manager roles, right? There is actually a global health community of practice for global health community managers, which I'm a part of, and I think there's around 20 to 30 different organizations who have that specific interest in the global health space. So that's something you could look into. So global health, community of managers, community of practice is something to look into because there's different roles there. And again, like I said, even moving past the global health aspect of it, you can be a community manager for a community of practice at many different organizations. Again, it goes back to those three characteristics that I mentioned. So having a domain of interest, having a community that's interested in pursuing these learning activities, and that focus on a practice. So you could really apply that to any area of public health or global health. So harm reduction can have one, right? So literally any area you could think of, you can create a community of practice that can help cater to some of the needs of that specific community.
You mentioned that there is about 20 representatives in the global health community of practice for global health community managers. Mouthful, but how would you characterize the organizations that they represent? Non-governmental organization, NGO types, are there government organizations involved as well? Like, give us a sense of what that looks like.
Yeah. So by no means is that the complete representation of all global health community managers for that specific community of practice. But I would say that they represent organizations all across the stream. So private organizations, non-for-profit, community-based organizations, you name it. Again, like I mentioned, you can have a community of practice anywhere as long as it, you know, has these three different characteristics that I mentioned, the domain, community, and practice.
And given those variations, I'm not going to ask you specifically what an average salary might look like in working in that space, but could you give us a range given all these different complexities of working in global health and specifically as a community manager? What does a salary expectation look like?
Yeah, so in terms of salary expectations, like you mentioned, it depends on the company, depends on the type of organization, and it also really depends on your level of responsibility that you have for that organization, right? So what I've seen based on my scan of Glassdoor and all those different websites that you could check out is you could start at around 55K, so 55,000 Canadian.
Per year?
Per year. And that can go up to, I've seen at the highest, around the highest at consulting organizations usually, where they can make up to 111,000 per year Canadian.
Okay.
So there's quite a range. It depends on the type of organization.
Level of experience.
Responsibilities, level of experience. And again, as we'll talk about in maybe in another episode, it, you know, how well you can negotiate your salary and sell yourself and the value added you can bring to an organization.
Uh-oh. We're doing that? Okay, we're doing that. Okay, so let's switch gears here. LaShawn, are you ready for a little rapid fire?
Okay, let's All right. go.
We're going to be transitioning into our very exciting segment called Insight Blitz. And in this segment, we'll be asking you, LaShawn. Yeah, I know you normally ask, but I'm asking you. We're asking you questions, or we're going to read some statements here, and you'll be able to provide a very brief response. You ready?
Right.
All right, let's get into it. First things first, what is your favorite way to stay up to date with public health or global health news?
I would have two answers to that. One would be just friends who are in public health. They often share stuff with me in WhatsApp groups and stuff like that. And then I also like Twitter and LinkedIn to get some of my news too.
Okay.
And I should probably mention the Public Health Insight podcast.
Of course, of course. I can't be shy about that. What keeps you inspired in a professional sense?
What keeps me inspired in a professional sense is how much is out there for me to learn, right? There's so many different areas that I can use and learn from outside of the public health and global health sector that keeps me super inspired because I'm constantly trying to learn from different areas like project management, digital marketing, process improvement. I want to learn from all these different areas, and I want to implement that into public health and global health practice. So there's so much out there. I'm constantly evaluating different things that are going on within these different spaces, and I always look to use that to improve my practice, as a good community manager should.
What's the last book you've read lately, and why do you read it?
The last book I've read was probably Think Again by my favorite person ever, who we will have on the podcast one day, hopefully, Adam Grant. So Think Again, it's basically this book, very, one of my favorite books. And it talks about this idea of the importance of being able to rethink different opinions that you might have deeply held, rethink the way you look at different situations in your life. Going through life, you probably have a lot of different deeply held beliefs, opinions about things, and understandings of how the world works. And if you're kind of super strongly held towards all those beliefs, which can be good, don't get me wrong, you may miss out on learning different things and learning to consider different ways of approaching different perspectives. And I think from a public health and global health perspective, especially as a community manager, for example, when you're talking to people from 40 different countries, they have different ways of life. They have different ways of approaching different situations. They have different ways. So it's important to be able to rethink the way you think things and understand where other people are coming from and be open to that idea. Be open to these new ideas. And if you're strongly held and guarded with beliefs you've had, it's hard to make those changes and be open and receptive to ideas. Instead, it's so easy to be combative and say, no, I'm right. You're wrong. What are you talking about? Just take a step back, listen, and try to understand what people are saying.
So it was called Insight Blitz, but that was a very good overview of the book. So I'll allow it. That's the only time I'll allow it. Thanks for sharing those insights. Other than rethinking,
okay,
what's one skill or trait that is a must-have when you're talking about being a community manager or working in global health in general?
So I think that one important skill or trait that you would want to have in this global health space is, I think there's this ability to understand that the knowledge that you know is not necessarily the right knowledge, and maybe you're not the best position to make decisions for any given intervention or program. A lot of the strength and the most useful knowledge can come through the community. So the community who's actually dealing with a lot of these problems, we have to learn from them. We have to work with them. We have to highlight them and spotlight them. So that's what I would say. So having that understanding that it's not about you as a very passionate global health professional saying, I want to do this, I want to do that. But keep in mind that you can do it by yourself and do all these great things by yourself. And you could do that fast, but you will go farther together.
So it sounds like you're saying relinquishing that ego and taking up humility just so you can learn and do a better job for the people that you serve. One of the most important questions, and for myself to know as well as the audience, is what is the most impactful lesson you've learned thus far?
In that role, right?
Yeah, of course. In a professional sense, working in that role. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I would say that this applies to quite a few emerging public health and global health professionals. Going through schooling, doing your master's degree, you have a lot of ambitious ideas and great ideas, amazing ideas. But then when you go into an organization, they have inherent limitations and structures in place that sometimes prevent you from doing some of the things that you think would be really important to do. So I think that lesson that I learned is just understanding that there is a business environment within the organizations you work for. And those business environments can really shape the different things that you can do. And understanding practically some of these constraints will do well for you, because once you understand these practical constraints at a given organization, you could better form your advocacy efforts and your initiatives to best optimize yourself within those frameworks.
So that's a perfect segue into the very last thing we want to touch on is, what is your take-home message for our wonderful audience who are aspiring, bubbling at the seams, to start their career in global health? What would you say to them?
Sometimes these barriers and constraints that organizations present can be exhausting. And what I would say to the people is make sure that despite those limitations and barriers, that you don't lose your passion and the reason why you wanted to enter this field. Because it's very easy to forget about the reason why you've entered the field of global health or public health in those situations. So keep that fire burning within you and always relate it back to the reason why you started in this field in the first place. And that always helps energize me and keeps me going in situations like that. You like that, Gordon?
Yeah, because sometimes I see you look super tired and then you go back to work the next day. So that's why.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something like that.
Well, this is a great place to end it. Thank you so much, LaShawn, for your knowledge and candor. This was your favorite public health professionals, LaShawn and Gordon, signing off.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Public Health Insight Podcast, your go-to space for informative conversations, inspiring community action. If you enjoy our podcast, be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. See you in the next one.